My name is Karen. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Karen.
And when I left home on Saturday afternoon in Ellicott City, Maryland, because I come out actually to serve as the Region 1 parliamentarian, and I stick around for the convention because what's better after doing service than to have a party? I am currently maintaining a 213-pound weight loss. I walked into my first OA meeting sometime in the fall of 1974. I was 21 years old. I was not at my top weight, but I was lucky enough to reach my top weight in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I came in the fall of 74. My current abstinence dates from January 27th, 1984. So for those of you who are, you know, not abstinent day one, it takes what it takes. And for me, the thing that differentiates me as a compulsive eater who had more than 100 pounds to lose and somebody who walked in who has 20 pounds to lose, because I never understood that. It's like, why do you think you're a compulsive overeater? And then I hear this story and I go, okay, they're a compulsive overeater. But what makes us somewhat different is my ability to ignore what's going on in my body. I have the ability to stick, I call it, you know, it's an ostrich syndrome. I stick my head in the sand, and I could never understand why my mother would say, but Karen, you've gained all this weight. And I'd be sitting there going, what is she talking about? How does she see that? Because for me, I spent my life in polyester stretch pants. And polyester stretch pants were always good for at least a 65 to 75 pound weight gain. And so I never understood why people could see what was in front of my face. That is one of the reasons why today, when I wear certain things, I wear no elastic waistbands. None. Unfortunately, you can't buy blue jeans that don't have, like, you know, don't have a stretch in it. But still in all, I keep away from as much stretch because I have the ability to ignore my body. I was completely separated from that. And so the difference and the 10 years I came into program, I didn't want to be here. I spent my first year and a half explaining to people that you may be a compulsive overeater. Me, I'm obsessed with food. You know, I'm different. You know, I was telling somebody this morning, it's like the old Groucho Marx story, you know, I don't want to be a part of any organization that would allow me to be a member. And so, you know, I did not think that you would accept me, you would love me, and so there was this wall that I would put up. And the bottom line is that it took me that 10 years to pull that wall down. And so the day came when I weighed 350 pounds and I still thought that I wasn't the biggest one in the room until all of a sudden somebody went, no, you kind of are. Because the woman who brought me in, who weighed 400 pounds the day she brought me back into meetings, now weighed 297 pounds, and I had managed to gain weight, and I weighed 350 pounds. But I was still going to the meeting because she was bigger than me. I didn't want to be the biggest one in the room, and I was. So that was the first time I got abstinent. In 1984, I was in relapse, and it got to the point where I was trying to figure out how to kill myself. I was cleaning everything up. I was finishing up a project, and I scared myself into recovery. I knew about OA. I was going to OA meetings, but I couldn't work it. I didn't know, you know, what I needed to do differently, and what I needed to do differently is I needed to shut up and listen to what other people were doing and how they did it. And, you know, some of us are just too damn smart for our own good. That was me. When I first walked into meetings, the first thing I heard the 12 steps and 12 traditions. By the third or fourth time I heard them, I figured I understood them, and I would show up at meetings 15 minutes late because I didn't need to hear that stuff. They were also, you may not realize this, but I grew up in New York City. And so all of the meetings at that point were mostly speaker meetings. And brilliant me, I decided, listening to the speaker, that if you had anything truly worthwhile to say, you would be a speaker. So I would go to a meeting 15 minutes late, listen to the 20-minute qualification, and then I would leave. Because if you had anything worthwhile to say, I'd eventually hear you because you would be the speaker. Is it any surprise that it took me quite so long to get abstinent? So I was scared. I was bigger than I had been in a very long time in this relapse. And I called a very close friend of mine and I said, okay, I can't do this anymore. Will you sponsor me? And she said, no. And then she said, can I tell you why I'm saying no? And I said, well, if you have to. And she said, I sponsor people at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know you a long time. And the last time you saw 6 o'clock in the morning was when you stayed up all night. I will find you someone who will sponsor you at 9 o'clock at night. And that's what she did. She found me a woman who at that point I had never met, who every night at 9 o'clock would pick up the telephone and take my food and give me a writing assignment, because we were doing writing assignments, you know, on a regular basis back then. And she saved my life. And so the other thing that I learned, and the reason why I went into relapse, was because I always felt that I was different from and I was alone, even in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And the reason why I am what some people refer to as a service junkie is that I have no excuse for telling you that I'm the only one who does certain things today. I have a phone where 95% of the people who are in my phone book are in Overeaters Anonymous. If I think I'm the only one who has to do this, weigh and measure in my house, weigh and measure in a restaurant, abstain from sugar, abstain from, I mean, whatever it is, I have somebody who I can call and say, I don't think I need to do this anymore because, and they go, yeah, right. The keynote speaker last night talked about her best friend. I have his telephone number in my phone. And every once in a while I will call up and he will just smack me into submission. And I go, yeah, okay, that's good. Thank you very much. But what has changed? I walked into program. I was 21 years old. I had never been on a date. I had never been in a relationship of any kind other than with my parents and my siblings. I'm the oldest of five, which is why I think I'm in charge of everything. But in the past 48 years, oh my God. Okay, in the past 48 years, I've been married twice. I've been widowed twice. I've lost 210 pounds. I had a period of time within that abstinence when I gained weight because between those two marriages, there was a relationship that was highly dysfunctional, and I wound up eating three meals a day in restaurants, not a really healthy thing to do, and I gained a lot of weight. I have done all of this, eating three meals a day, with nothing in between. Let me tell you about the last 6 years of my life. Seven years ago this month, I was nominated to serve as the Region 7 trustee. And, you know, everything was great. I was married for the second time. Things were terrific, you know. And I went out to conference. I got elected. I was running unopposed, so, I mean, there wasn't really a big surprise when I got elected. And I came home and I went to my second region assembly as trustee. And in the middle of the assembly, I got a call from the police, who I had called for a wellness check. And they had found my husband dead in our home. At which point, I left the assembly. I went home. We dealt with that. 6 months later, my mother called me. My father died. A year and a half later, I got a call. My father-in-law had passed away. A year after that, my mother-in-law passed away. Last November, my mom died. So, in the last 7 years, I have lost every adult relationship. My brothers and sisters are still around. I have friends from when I was 5 years old. But these people who were the adults in my life are all gone. Program and my involvement in service is what saved me. Because the reason why I knew that I could live through this stuff, and that's not the word that was going to come out of my mouth, but I've gone through this because I've gone to enough meetings and heard enough people who may not have gone through all five of the ones that I went through, but I knew that I could lose my parents and abstain. And I knew that I could be widowed and abstain. And I knew that I could get through each of these things one day at a time and abstain, because program doesn't promise you that your life will be a bowl of cherries. And I apologize if that's a binge food. What it promises you is that you will be able to handle those situations that used to baffle you, that you will be able to live life on life's terms. I have, for people who, you know, because there are a few people in the room who have seen me over the years, I have a non-religious view of what that power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity is. And I found a book about a year and a half ago where the person who wrote the book talked about what their higher power was. And what they said was, my higher power is reality. That's one thing that I can't fight. You know, a person can't be my higher power. My first husband told me a long time ago that, you know, the only thing I needed to know about that higher power was it wasn't me. And so I have turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, and other individuals in program who have things that I don't have, to say, how did you do this? How did you walk through this and not eat over it? Because my day can be absolute crap. And the bottom line is that if I don't eat over all of that crap that's going on in my life, my day is successful. And the day will come when that will pass, because the thing I learned, and I will leave you with this, is that sometimes we focus and we think that the bad stuff is like so overwhelming. That too passes. You know, the good stuff comes and goes, and the bad stuff comes and goes. And the secret for me is learning how to deal with that on a daily basis so that I can get through my life without hurting people, and without hurting myself, and abstain one day at a time, because if I do that, I have a chance of long-term recovery. If I respond inappropriately and I eat over something, I don't know where this time it would lead to. So for today, I abstain. And if that's the only thing I can do today, that's good enough. But in the long term, practicing and working the steps, the traditions, and the 12 concepts of service is what keeps me in the rooms and keeps me abstaining from compulsive eating, and knowing that no matter what else is going on, that the good stuff will pass, but especially the bad stuff will pass. And I am just so happy to be here. My cat's upstairs asleep. I come down to meetings and people want to know where the cat is. You know, the cat's cuter than I am, so I understand that. But he travels with me, and he'll be glad to be home tomorrow night, and I will too. But I'm so glad to have been able to spend this time with you, and thank you.